from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. When you decide to go on strike, carrying picket signs is the norm. But when San Francisco symphony musicians voted unanimously to strike this week, several members made an even more radical statement. They wore Dodger baseball caps to make the point that they'd like to be paid as well as Los Angeles symphony members. We'll find out more about the strike in our first half hour. And then, should bars be allowed to stay open later? State Senator Mark Leno wants to let cities have the option of letting some bars and restaurants stay open until 4 a.m. Striking musicians and a later last call. Next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. The musicians of the San Francisco Symphony are on strike, voting unanimously this week to swap their instruments for picket signs. The musicians' principal concern is to be paid comparably to their colleagues in Los Angeles and Chicago. In fact, four symphony musicians did something no San Franciscan does lightly. They donned Dodger baseball caps while staging a brief performance at City Hall. Symphony strikes are not pretty. Last year, Atlanta locked out their musicians. Detroit went through a bitter six-month strike in 2011. And of course, the San Francisco Symphony itself went through a divisive and extended strike back in 1996 and 97. Joining us this morning to start us out in our conversation during this first half hour about this topic, Dave Gaudry. He is a viola player with the San Francisco Symphony since 1982. He chairs the Musicians Negotiating Committee, which he has also done since 2005. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you join us. Joining us as well is Oliver Tile. He's the Director of Communications for the San Francisco Symphony. Oliver, thanks for joining us as well.
Good morning, Dave. It's a pleasure to be on.
So you had a late night, Dave Gaudry. You were up a long time. Progress? Where do things stand as of this hour?
Well, I'd say things are moving. We certainly feel like we have a certain distance to go before we can declare victory. However, the time is definitely short. We are scheduled to leave for the East Coast in the next 3 days or so. And I know that there's a lot of people, including our music director, Michael Tilson-Thomas, would love to see us back on the stage rehearsing in order to really get ready for those concerts.
And Oliver Tile, would you concur that things are moving closer? Were you optimistic based on the negotiations that went on through the night last night?
I think so. And good morning, David. I know you worked very hard last night, and I want to commend you and your team for staying here until I think it was 4 a.m. to do your work. Yes, so I think we're all hopeful that we can see our talented musicians back on stage of Davies Hall soon. Negotiations are moving forward. I think it's fair to say there are more talks scheduled for today, as I understand. But because no new agreement was reached last night, we will unfortunately need to cancel this evening's concert as well. It's an 8 p.m. concert that was scheduled for tonight, Mahler Symphony No. 8. Ticket holders should call our Symphony box office hotline at 864-6000 or check on the website sfsymphony.org for their options in exchanging tickets, refunds, or donating their tickets to the symphony.
Well, let's talk about what keeps you apart at this point. From your point of view, Dave Gaudry, when you read the news accounts of what symphony members, musicians are currently getting, it sounds pretty good. Average salary, as I understand it, of $165,000 a year, plus fully paid health insurance and 10 weeks of paid vacation. So the question is, in these still difficult economic times, what's not good enough about that? Where do you want to go from here that would get you back on that rehearsal stage?
Right. Well, just as a point of fact, as I was saying before we went on air, I'm a section player in the orchestra, and the vast majority of musicians in the orchestra are section players, meaning our salary is close to the contract minimum. The average does factor in a handful of more highly compensated players who are absolutely worth every cent.
And that contract minimum is $145,000?
$141,000.
Yeah.
Right. As far as the other terms, I mean, it's true that we have a certain number of weeks off from the symphony, I would say. Speaking for myself, I mean, I spend most of those weeks playing festivals around the United States and in foreign countries. I have my favorite is a small festival that I play in the summer in Limerick, Ireland, and those are seldom compensated, if at all, for or very low rates of pay.
What would it take to get you back on stage?
Well, I mean, the conversation often gets directed towards money, which is certainly part of it. But I think we like to think of it in terms of allocating resources, because it isn't just money. It can be support in other areas such as instruments, certain travel conditions. Working conditions are a big part of this.
So is that where the negotiations are right now? It's not so much dollar signs, but those things like rehearsal time, access to rehearsal rooms, other kinds of additional compensation in that form as opposed to dollar signs?
That is true. I mean, and now let me go to the just say the opposite. I mean, right now it still is about money. And I think that what's been happening, and I think the source of conflict right now, is that the Board of Governors of the San Francisco Symphony, who the musicians appreciate in, absolutely, and our staff and administration who do a fine job, but their approach to this particular negotiation is that they want to achieve what they call net savings, which would be another way of saying they want to see cuts and freezes in the compensation and other money that gets spent on the orchestra, and that is the sticking point right now.
So, Oliver Teil, what are you currently offering? Is it a cut? Is there less on the table now than what musicians are currently getting?
Well, I think David touched on the right topics here, that the collective bargaining agreements with our musicians covers a whole range of topics, including pay and health care and pension and the work schedules, radio recording agreements. So it's a very broad range of issues being discussed, and that's one of the reasons these contracts do take such a long time to work out. And I think the key issue here is striking a balance. As David rightly pointed out, these are some of the best musicians in the country, and we agree with them, and we firmly believe that our contract and the contract we will work out will pay them respective of their talents.
And tell me what that is, Oliver. What's the current offer you're making to the musicians?
Well, out of respect for the negotiating process, because I know it's still very active and it was late last night and it's going on today, I'd rather not go into the specifics of what's currently on the table. But, the musicians are currently paid in the top three among American orchestras, and we firmly believe that they need to be among the highest in their peers, and our offers do reflect that. The balance here is the key for us to be able to recognize the musicians the way that they deserve to be recognized, but at the same time find a way to keep these kinds of agreements within a balanced way forward,
right,
economically and sustainable. These agreements are a big part of our concert expense structure, and as the board has outlined in long-range plans to align concert revenues and concert expense costs, this is critical, and but at the same time, as David pointed out, it's also critical to our musicians. Many of them stay in the orchestra for their entire careers. I think David's been in for about 30 years.
And so let me get to where this needs to go. I understand that you don't want to negotiate this on the air. Understandable, of course. But Dave Gaudry, from your point of view, what more, as I understand it, the last offer illustrated a increase in salary of a couple of percentage points over the term of the next contract, three years, and would continue to pay you full health care, pay all of the premiums for health care benefits. What more does the symphony organization need to do to make you happy?
Listen, let me just, if I can, correct a couple of those facts. The current offer on the table from our management does in no way pay all the premiums for the health care. It's a drastic increase in our portion of health care premiums on the table from the management. Now, in terms of the base salary.
So you're going from it being fully paid to where you would have to make a contribution?
No, currently it is not fully paid, but
okay.
It would increase by a factor of 400% the amount that is being paid by someone who has a family, lesser amounts for others. But currently, singles don't pay the health insurance premium, but the people in couples or people in families are currently paying.
And that's a key sticking point for you, is getting the healthcare part of this resolved?
Well, yeah, it's a big part of it. But there are at least two other issues that are really, I think, causing a logjam here are minimum weekly salary. The offer on the table from the management is 0% in the first year, 1% in the second year increase, and an additional 1% increase in the third year. And obviously, I mean, for a lot of reasons, that's a problem for the orchestra members. But in addition to that, it's the offer on the table is to freeze the pension benefit.
So lots of things still to be worked out. We want to get an additional perspective on this now, and we'd like to hear your thoughts on this as well. If you're someone who attends the San Francisco Symphony, what do you think of this dispute? Are you on the side of the musicians in terms of wanting them to get a little bit more? Are you unhappy with the fact that they are going out on strike at this moment? You can join our conversation at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. I want to hear now from Robert Mnookin. He is the chair of the Program on Negotiation at Harvard Law School and director of the Harvard Negotiations Research Project. And he also has a deep familiarity with the San Francisco Symphony because he was brought in during the 1996-97 strike to help resolve what had become a very, very divisive situation some 17 years ago. So, Robert Mnookin, thanks, first of all, very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure being here. And you asked whose side I'm on. I'm for the success of the San Francisco Symphony, which is really one of the great orchestras in the world. Just as to note a slight correction, I was brought in after that catastrophic strike, and I worked with the orchestra, with a team, to help them change what was in fact an extremely adversarial negotiation culture. I think that, in fact, this dispute is primarily about money and, to a lesser degree, also about respect. The three big issues in all these orchestra disputes are salaries, pension, and health care. Health care because, as we all know, health care costs are going up, and there is an argument about who ought to bear it. Most of all, though, my concern is that with many major and minor American symphony orchestras, the negotiation culture is broken. It is a highly adversarial culture that is reflective of what goes on in Washington today in terms of people repetitively playing chicken. And I think the timing of what's going on now, right before a possible East Coast tour, isn't an accident. And what gives me some hope is very much the way that both Oliver and David are characterizing each other
right.
and their constituents with respect.
And why do you think, Bob Mnookin, there is often in orchestras that sort of adversarial and intensely divisive atmosphere? What is it about this particular form of labor negotiations that lends itself, I guess, to that sort of divisiveness?
Well, I think part of it relates to history. And how unionization arose. Historically, there is no doubt but that musicians were often exploited by trustees and overseers, and it was only by getting organized that they were able to improve things. Other elements are that, in fact, particularly for string musicians who aren't principals, these are enormously gifted and skilled professionals who probably in the earlier stage of development really had hoped to be soloists, not being in the third rank of the second violinist, for example. And the part of being a symphony musician that many non-musicians don't understand is, although they love being part of a great institution, they have very little control over their artistic life. And they get much of their musical satisfaction not during the hours they're working for the symphony, but in their other activities, which can include festivals, they can include chamber groups, etc. Now, this isn't true for all the musicians, but it's true for many of them.
And so, sorry to interject, but so recognizing that would be an important part of putting this puzzle together, so that musicians feel that the rest of their artistic life is attended to and respected.
I think it's part of it. I think it's part of it. The other thing that's very much a part of it is American symphony orchestras, many are in deep financial trouble.
Yeah.
Los Angeles and San Francisco are in pretty good shape. But, you know, Chicago, which, of course, pays very high salaries, is not in great fiscal shape. Philadelphia, which was one of the big five, went into bankruptcy. There are all kinds of examples where there are strikes and threats of strikes, which, in my view, end up being quite destructive. And what I hope is that this strike is settled promptly. And I think that, you know, it's not rocket science. But part right. of the dilemma, too, is, of course, the musicians are very well paid compared to the people they went to the conservatory with, many of whom are now public school teachers or are just music teachers on the side. They've got what many would be dream jobs. Every time there's an opening in the San Francisco Symphony in the string section, I bet there are scores of people who apply for that position. These are very sought-after positions. And although they're not getting rich by San Francisco standards, it's a decent salary and compensation scheme. On the other hand, you know, when they learn that Michael Tilson Thomas is paid almost $2.5 million, and that the executive director got a big increase, and that there's been lots of money raised for the renovating Davies Hall, a lot of the musicians say, if we don't push hard, they're going to take advantage
right.
of us.
Let's hear what some of our listeners are thinking about this dispute. Stay with us, Bob Mnookin, and we'll get your reaction to our callers and those who attend the symphony and what they're thinking about the news of the week. We're joined first by Colin in San Francisco. Colin, go ahead.
Good morning. I received in the mail a request to renew the subscription with San Francisco Symphony by March 26th, and I'd have to say that this strike leaves me very disinclined to do that.
Because?
I wonder if the orchestra and the management are really cutting off their noses despite their faces here.
So do you feel, Colin, a kind of equal unhappiness with both sides?
Yes, I understand the concerns about having to pay for health care premiums, but I work in the private sector too, and that's simply a fact of life.
Yeah, Colin, thank you. Thanks for adding your point of view to this dispute. We'll hear next from Kevin. Kevin, go ahead. What are your thoughts on the current strike?
Thanks for taking my call. I think, unfortunately, I have to agree with management in this particular strike. It seems that the base salary of $141,000 for the musicians is more than what an average San Francisco resident makes. Having to pay a copay for your insurance is the norm these days. Regardless of what percentage it is, everyone has to pay a copay for insurance. You know, this is not the days of, you know, wine and roses anymore, where you get these things handed to you. With regard to the positions that any member of the symphony makes, whether they're a front player or a section player, you can't blame management that you're not at a premium soloist salary. It's like a professional sports figure. You're either Kobe Bryant or you're a sixth person on the bench that comes in as support.
Kevin, you know, thanks. Let me hold you there so that I can get a couple more views on. But thanks for that. And for this is sort of the morning of baseball analogies, I guess, with people wearing Dodger caps. So thanks for adding that to us. Doug in San Leandro joins us next. Doug, go ahead.
Right. I appreciated the fact that one of the guests on the program put this into the context of negotiations that are taking place throughout the United States, because indeed, over the last a couple of decades, there's been like these brinksmanships that have taken place where, and it seems obvious to me that where the brinksmanship is coming from is management trying to like force agreements upon organized groups of workers. The bottom line is that you can't expect us to have sympathy for management that is having intransigent negotiations with its workers while it pays executives hundreds of thousands and in some cases multi-millions of dollars.
Doug, thank you. Yeah, Dave Gaudry, back to the musicians' concerns about this. We've heard a couple of people reference the fact that, you know, there's renovations going on at Davies Hall. There's Michael Tilson Thomas making tax of millions of dollars. You heard Doug express that concern about the management point of view. Does that play into this, that there's a sense of equity that is of concern to musicians?
Well, I think maybe that's placing the focus in a slightly maybe misplacing the focus. Look, I mean, everybody wants to certainly have their part of the pie in working in an organization, but our concern is a little different. I mean, what we're trying to do right now is establish and build the best artistic franchise we possibly can, and we are definitely in competition with peer orchestras that are, you know, located in cities that have lower costs of living, and that is every city in the United States, by the way. But many of them pay higher, well, particularly Los Angeles and Chicago, and we are losing players to these orchestras. We just lost our principal timpanist, as we were discussing earlier, and this is the kind of thing that is for us presents a risk that we're going to lose ground in the artistic battle.
But I wonder if there's also the risk in terms of what you may alienate in terms of your audience. Let me just read a couple of comments coming in, and then I'd like to hear both Oliver Tile and Bob Manukin comment on this. Carolyn writes, I'm outraged. I raised two children and paid off a mortgage on $30,000 a year. How can anyone be unhappy with making $150,000 a year? Andy writes, let them compete on the open market for jobs. Hire the former section players from the Philadelphia Symphony. Bottom line, there are plenty of musicians who would take that job for far less. And so it goes. Someone else writes in, I attended a lovely performance just the other night, but I'm really disappointed with the symphony members. What about giving back to the community? What about helping disadvantaged children who are musically inclined? Bob Manukin, when you hear that sort of commentary, is that the risk in all of this in terms of how this may go?
Absolutely. This kind of bargaining, this kind of negotiation, this kind of brinksmanship, which is like the fiscal cliff, for most of the public is offensive. They feel that, in fact, the symphony players are a privileged lot. They feel that the governors of the symphony are, of course, philanthropically extremely generous, but they're an elite. And they think, my God, why can't management and the players work this out?
Yeah.
And I think that, in fact, what part of the story is that in the orchestra world today, the contracts are, well, the one I looked at last was 26 pages, single-spaced, with work condition specifications that are not like those that professionals usually have. They're more like what the auto workers have.
Unfortunately, we're just about out of time, and so let me also get in a last quick thought from Oliver Tile and Dave Gaudry. You've heard the risk, I think, play out just over the course of the last 25 minutes. Are you optimistic, Oliver Tile, that you can hold that risk at bay and come up with a good solution?
I think I am. By the progress that I saw last night in the negotiations, and just by how supportive our community has been. San Francisco, as a very generous community, they place arts at the highest level of importance, as making it a part of their lives. We've done this for 100 years, and we're making concerts on stage at the highest level with David and his colleagues.
And David, do you think—
our musicians are also in our schools, and they mentor—
I have to hold you there. Sorry, Oliver. David, are you optimistic you can get this done today?
Well, I certainly am, and it's our hope that we're going to have the outline of a deal signed today so that we can get the orchestra back on stage and doing what we love to do, which is play concerts.
And Bob Manukin, 10 words of your best advice.
Get the deal done.
in three words, better still. Bob Manukin, thanks so much for joining us in this quick discussion of this important consideration. Dave Gaudry, Oliver Tile, thanks both to you.
Thank you.
Back with more in just a moment. This is Forum on KQED.